focused on the people that produce the championships. And that's what we did. That's why I said I work for the GOAT, man. I work for the GOAT.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we're joined by Fred Quartelbaum, a longtime and well-respected Division I assistant coach. Coach Quartelbaum's coaching career spans over 3 decades, featuring stops at some of the nation's top programs, including Kansas, St. John's, North Carolina, Iowa State, and Navy. Known for his infectious energy and ability to build relationships, he played a key role in developing winning cultures and mentoring countless student athletes throughout his coaching journey. At Kansas, Quartelbaum helped the Jayhawks capture multiple Big 12 titles and compete on college basketball's biggest stages, including being on staff when Kansas won the national championship in 2022. His experience and leadership have left a lasting impact on every program he's been a part of. A motivator, a connector, and a lifelong learner, Quartelbaum continues to inspire coaches across all levels of the game. In this episode, we talk about his first struggles as a young coach trying to break into the industry, what he learned from his time coaching at the Naval Academy, as well as some unique things Bill Self and the Kansas staff do to prepare their teams for the season ahead. Please welcome to the podcast, Fred Quartelbaum. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. Good morning. Welcome back, coaches. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Your host, Alan Major, Doug Caputo. Today, we get to chat with a former Division I college basketball coach, longtime coach, formerly at Kansas, Coach Fred Quartelbaum. Coach Quartelbaum, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you, Doug? Alan, thank you so much for having me on this amazing Rising Coaches podcast. I follow you all, and I appreciate, I'm sure many coaches appreciate the knowledge and the education, and as well as the resources that you all provide for so many. So thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to participate this morning.
Likewise, man. Glad we can make it happen.
Now, Coach, the experiences you have had already, the things you have done, I know we were chopping it up before and then obviously a little bit this morning. Like, you have so many things that you have already gone over, and I'm like, crap, we have so much stuff that we want to talk about with you. You've had great experiences and impactful career in the game just as a coach, as a player. When you look back over your whole career, what was the spark that really pursued you and made you want to go down the avenue of a coaching profession?
I think the spark started with my purpose, and it's always been about people for me. And you realize that coaching isn't just about a scoreboard, right? It's your ability to impact and to improve the performance of your former players, in my case, and also fueling growth of others. When I saw firsthand how coaches shape lives, including mine, beyond the court, that's when I realized I wanted to build something special. I wanted to build a great culture that just wasn't about calling plays. And I think that extra degree of investment, mentoring, teaching, confidence, and resilience really created that spark.
Mm. No, I love it, man. We all have our inspirations. As a matter of fact, just recently, I've been thinking a lot about my high school coach. He still lives back in Indianapolis. And who was the person that maybe inspired you? Did the way you were coached to make you want to coach? And if so, who was that person or maybe one or two people that said, man, hey, I think you could do this someday?
Mage, it's funny have you mentioned that, because I just spoke to an unbelievable mentor that you know as well. Doug, you may know him. His name is Dave Spiller. Dave Spiller coached me at Fordham. And I just got word that he was getting a pacemaker in 2 days ago. So I immediately jumped on the phone, spoke to Spills, and I spoke to his wife, Ann, and we just went back down memory lane about our time together, our time, our growth, things I've learned so much about being not only a good basketball player, but just a good human. And a lot of qualities that I have today were instilled by that gentleman, Dave Spiller. So it does go full circle, and you realize that the lives that you want to continue to impact was started back in my days at Fordham.
Yeah, no, I got to know Dave. He actually coached at Ohio State.
Yes.
At one point. And there's that connection again with that big block O, but he would still come around from time to time, because he at the time, I think he had gone back to coaching high school.
He did.
But he would still come around Columbus from time to time, and just the heart of the guy, man. And I don't know him the way you do, and I don't have that connection with him the way you do, but like that dude is loved by many people.
Absolutely. And things go full circle, because now I am giving him pointers about the next chapter after his procedure. Hey, coach, slow down. Listen to your doctors. Listen to your wife. Hey, we're not jumping back into coaching. We're not getting back on the court to start work. I know Ohio State has a game in a few weeks. Relax, slow down, and recover. And he says, Q, thank you, man. I got you. So yeah. It does go full circle.
It does. No doubt. I need to try to reach out to him and just wish him well, man. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, he would love that.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I noticed, especially like I'm still young in my coaching career, but I'm starting to get a glimpse of it, is my high school coach, somebody who I really looked up to. I still talk to him religiously, and you don't really realize, I guess in the moment, as a coach now working with college kids, you don't really realize, because none of them really tell you, hey, you helped me so much while you're on the court, while you're in the game. Maybe every now and then if there's something going on behind the scenes and a kid has to open up. But it really isn't like people come over to you and go, man, you do so much for me, like all the time. You don't really notice it until years after. And then I'm starting to actually get to the point where I have kids who have graduated now, and you start to see a difference. Like I said, with my high school coach, I look at that man as – I always joke with him. I'm like, he's like a second father. Now, obviously, I got my father, but he's like a second father. He's always calling me once a week, checking in. You don't really realize it until you're out of it, is when it really starts to catch a glimpse.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. We have – I actually have one of my former players from Kansas live 5 miles from me, Landon Lucas.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just Landon Lucas, and spending time with him and his family have just been a blessing to see – how he's matured and developed. He's always been a wonderful human being, but now you see him in a different spotlight. You see him as a wonderful father, amazing husband, just doing some amazing things in his life. So to be 5 miles down the road from him, it's just a blessing. It just goes to show that, again, it's bigger than basketball.
Coach, there's one thing, and I always want to, I like to ask these type of questions. You started your career following, as we mentioned, at Fordham. You go into one of your first positions being at the Naval Academy. That had to have started something, taught you a bunch of – because I'm sure they're very particular. I'm sure if you're not – if you're 1 minute late – don't get me wrong, I'm guessing on all of this, but I'm sure if you're 1 minute late, there's going to be hell raised. So starting your career at the Naval Academy, what were some things that taught you to help you propel into the coaching career with the 30-year experiences that you had?
Well, I think, but even prior to me going to Annapolis, we talk about our journey. We talk about our route to coaching, and everyone has a different path. My path was pretty unique in a sense that I had to join the Navy in order to take the position on staff at the Naval Academy. And that became a defining moment to, do I really want to coach?
There's no sort of in the middle. Like, that's either or right there.
Alan, was the only opportunity that was provided. You send all your letters out. You try to make as many calls. And for the most part, you get so many rejections, which actually I still have all of those returning letters from all these coaches, even some of the places that I currently coached at, doing my experience. But that was my kind of step into college basketball. So to get into your point, absolutely. It taught so many things that continues to carry with me today. And absolutely the power, I was no doubt about it. Just again, I wouldn't say You don't want to be late. There's no question about that. You want to make sure you're 15 to 20 minutes earlier. But the power of discipline, service, and accountability were the things that stood out the most. Because at the academy, like anywhere else that relies on the culture, is that everything is about the mission first. Everything's about the team first. And when you watch these midshipmen daily handle their academics, their military training, and their basketball, has really taught me what true toughness looks like, right? Because that environment showed me that excellence, it isn't an act. It is a habit. It is a mindset. It is a non-negotiable. It is a way of life. So I've been able to carry those type of expectations into every team that I've been a part of and every room that I walk into.
Yeah, for sure. No, I know you have a newfound respect for them because of obviously their mission is ultimately to protect our shores and our country. But the power of habits, just seeing when those guys came to practice, I'm sure that was probably like a 2-hour vacation for them in a sense, because the rest of the day, they're probably what you would arguably say, 6 a.m., probably a 5 to 5:30 a.m. start to the day.
Yes.
10:30 to 11 p.m. ending.
Maybe longer than whenever they get the mission done. And to your point, Mays, at a place like the service academies, you are a midshipman or you are a cadet, the Air Force or West Point. That happens to play basketball.
Exactly. There you go.
It's not the other way around.
No doubt.
What a special place with these young men and these young women doing a consistent basis is just remarkable. I wish everyone had an opportunity to coach or learn more about the life of being a midshipman in Annapolis.
Yeah. Sounds like they taught you as much as you may have taught them, because you're coming in. This was a coaching related decision. Theirs was a service related decision. But then it was the other way. You were a coach that happened to be a midshipman. They were midshipmen that happened to be players.
Alan, I'm sorry. Let me clear this up. So I graduate from Fordham, getting to college coaching. So I actually go in as an active mariner. I go in as an officer. So I was an ensign. But to your point, you are commissioned. And at the time, they had no OCS, which is Officer Candidate School, or no boot camp. So you had to learn on the fly or learn from other active mariners that that have that rank. I recall that day, I'm walking down Annapolis, downtown, feeling pretty good about myself. I was like the officer and the gentleman, having my summer whites on, looking pretty clean. All of a sudden, I see other officers walking towards me. They didn't tell me who and how to salute. Well, I said, when in doubt, just salute. Fast forward, I was a PTO officer, which is the physical training officer for these midshipmen. And they were so brave and kind enough to say, Coach, sir, I'm sure you know now, but we were the midshipmen who were walking downtown where you walk by us. I'm sure you know now, you don't salute us. We salute you. I was saluting them because I had no idea. So obviously there's a chain of command. There's a chain of command. So I was an officer. They were midshipmen, but I was saluting them. So you learn as you go, and it turned out to be a wonderful experience. It was a 3-year commitment, and the 4th year was optional. I loved it so much, guys. I stayed all 4 years.
I'm sure it taught you so many experiences too. Just discipline, as you guys said, forming habits. One of the things now that I'm reading about, and actually, Alan, you hit the nail on the head. It's a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And it's just all it is. I'm only like a chapter in, so I literally just started it. So I can't tell you too much about it, but just talks about like your day to day, right? The environment, everything that you got going on, forming habits, breaking bad habits. Sometimes they're subconscious. You don't even know that you're doing things. It's just like a tick or something that you do. But it talks about those type of things. And I'm sure having to jump into a pool of other people around you and having to learn from your environment, that sounds like it's a complete jump into environment and learn around you, because you don't have people there telling you, hey, we need you to do this. It's just you're working in a team and you got to figure out the common goal and find out how to get to the end of it, how to successfully come out on the top. But Coach, I want to circle back on one thing that you said, because I think it's going to be huge for people to hear. You talked about before you even started with the Naval Academy, you talked about the rejections, the letters back, the struggles of finding that first job. Can you just like shed a little more light on that? Like, what are some of the things that you did? Now, I understand, I hate to say it this way, but I understand when you graduated Fordham, it was a little bit different times than it is now. We didn't have social media. We didn't have as much of or easier ways to get a hold of people. It was more letters, I'm sure. But just talk about that, kind of going through that process and the rejections and all of that.
Yeah, what a great learning process. Definitely humbles you first and foremost. Yeah, there were a lot of envelopes, a lot of stamps that go into it. And someone had mentioned to me, hey, if you want to set yourself apart, put a stick of gum in there. Just put a big red piece of gum. Just they'll remember. You may not get the job, but they'll be like, yeah, hey, yeah, some guy, Quartelbaum. Yeah, man, maybe I'll use it. Maybe I'll use it for practice or something like that. So I did a little gesture in that. It didn't really help at all, by the way, but we're going to have to pivot at some point in life, right? And you start as a freshman, you work your way up as a senior, seniority, more leadership, more accountability, all those traits of responsibility, those traits are stuck with you. So as I move into this next chapter, okay, how important networking is, how important is to face rejection. And you learn that because when you're a college coach, like you guys are, we get more no's than we do yeses, right? Recruiting wise. So it just prepared me for that next chapter. But every letter that gave me a not qualified, no positions at this time, it just continued to build a resilience within me, a persistence in me. And those things just carried on as I continue to grow as a college basketball coach.
I'm going to move forward to KU a little bit, and I hope I'm not jumping a hurdle here, Dougie. No. But I know something that you guys do right around this time of year was called like the boot camp. And so was any shred of your experience from the Naval Academy, was that something that Coach Self had always done, or is that something that from your military experience, you said, hey, let's have a little bonding session here with the fellas through some physical trials? Because I know that's something that it's almost like a rite of passage it became as a KU basketball player. And you would occasionally see on social media just snippets of you guys in there, and every guy's drenched in sweat. But just talk about, one, what was the origin of that? And then two, what at the end of that were you guys seeking, you know, that you wanted the players to have?
I will share, that was all Coach Bill Self. He has been doing boot camp, I believe, maybe since his early days. It could be Oral Roberts or Tulsa. So that has been an annual 2 week. It just depends on where we are in that stage. But it's been a 2 week boot camp where guys get up in the morning and we go through some conditioning, go through a lot of conditioning. But really at the end, what we're trying to do, Mage, is really trying to bring guys together and understand that the season is going to have ups and downs, highs and lows, ebbs and flows, success and setback, sunshine and storm. It's all going to be a part of our journey this season. How do we respond to those moments? And I also believe that outside of the conditioning space, we're trying to become more connected, keep more in that space of communication, collaboration, caring more about one another, serving one another, competing a little bit more. So what Coach is really trying to emphasize is getting our guys out of comfort. And I always talk about that human nature has a way to put us in comfortable environments, cushy, cozy, convenient. And for co-self in our world, human nature makes you soft. And he's the best at it. And I brag about Coach all the time. I've said it to his face. I said publicly that I have received my undergrad, my grad, my doctorate, my PhD. I don't know if there's another level of degrees there in relationship building, team building, and culture building. The guy is just amazing. And you see the consecutive streaks that he's been able to put together over time. And yes, it just goes to show that there's more than just talent that goes into it. And there's nobody better to bring out the best in players, to bring out the best in coaches, to bring out the best in everyone who has a handprint on that basketball program than Bill Self.
Yeah, no, that's well said, man. It's funny you say that. Obviously, my life changed here recently, but 2 weeks before that, I got some Chinese food, and the fortune cookie said, there is great beauty on the other side of your comfort zone.
Love
it. Fortune cookies never lie either.
I'm learning on this podcast too. Say that one more time. I love it.
There is great beauty on the other side of your comfort zone. Yes. And so what that meant for me, obviously, I didn't know when I was finishing off the rice and chicken what that meant at the time. I knew 2 weeks later what that meant. But that goes that much further for the players that we work with, the people we try to impact, is if they want to change and they want to grow, there will be hard to deal with. Yeah. But that's what that meant is, you know, everything you want's on the other side of hard. And so if you can hurdle hard, then you got a chance to really see some pretty cool stuff. But that's what you're saying about human nature and Coach Self. Like, most people will get to the hurdle and they're like, you know what? I don't know about this. Right. It's getting yourself to hurdle hard.
Yeah.
And then when you hurdle hard, and then the beauty of it is when you hurdle hard once, that's why you work out. That's why yesterday I went to a yoga sculpt thing, and this girl that was 5 foot nothing and 100 nothing crushed us for an hour to the tune of about 650 calories, and she's barely sweating. She's teaching and going through the stuff that we're going. Wow. But the idea was, when you hurdle hard once, then the next hurdle, it's never easy, but it gets a little bit easier because you've done it and your mind has been there. And so there's power in, I've been there before. So
Major, I love that. I love what you're saying. I talk about to become the best version of yourself individually or collectively, you have to do a few things. You have to remain present, remain in the moment. You have to trust the process. You have to live in purpose. And you have to sometimes understand that patience is important too, because these are your prescriptions to your perseverance. And to your point, I think that is so important, because many of us, including myself, we'd rather skip the process and get directly to the outcome.
There you go.
Again, that's human nature. But if you can fight the urges of human nature, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
You can fight it, because they're there. It sits right in your shoulder. One more rep, one more set.
Right.
Hey, I got to do extra shooting at 6 a.m. But like you said, if you can get to the other side, to that shoulder, man.
There you go.
And it's just those incremental steps lead to big time gains.
Yeah. 100%.
I love how you just said one more rep, because now I'm going to reference him again. I apologize. My high school coach, his dad was former military. Okay. So he did. Now I'm not going to sit here and talk to a man who was in the Naval Academy about military workouts, but one of the things he did, he tried to implement a lot of things like that. How we're talking about preseason and boot camp and stuff like that. We would do something that it would be just lifts, but it would be low weight. And it would be, you have to run from one thing to the next. So you're doing squats for 30 seconds, 45 seconds of a certain weight, drop down, do 10 pushups. You better run to that next one. And then you're going to hop on the bench, do 45 seconds, whatever, 10 more pushups. It's continuous. But one of the things that I noticed, and I call the guy crazy all the time. I still do, even though, like I said, he's very, he knew what he was doing. But looking back on it, you're achieving things. You're starting to help your friends up, right? So if someone's struggling with the push-up, you're like, come on. And the coach ends up taking a step back because we implemented it recently. Going back to what you said with one more rep, you start doing, you say, hey, you give me 10 reps. Everybody in your mindset is immediately thinking, I got 10 reps. Okay, give me one more. And you're like, your mind doesn't know what to do. Because you, from your mindset, I'm only doing 10 reps. Now you're making me do 11, 12, 13, 14. I wasn't supposed to be doing that. But now, and I feel like it throws everybody out of their comfort zone. He would do that every time. He'd go, give me one more. Give me two more. One for your mom. One for your family. One for your dog. And he starts throwing out things that you love. And you're like, I'm not going to say no about that. It's for my mom. It's for my family.
Yes. It's all mindset. That's it, coach.
No doubt.
It's crazy. It really is crazy about all of that. But just staying on with Kansas, you guys, as we, I know we talked off here, but you had a national championship team, something that is not to be overlooked by any means. With your program, with your successes, as I mentioned, you spent 30 years in the profession, various positions, various locations, but you've had some great knowledge and you've been able to succeed, obviously, winning a national championship with Kansas. From your perspective, out of all the teams, all the programs, like, yes, I know you had some really great programs, but what made that one so much sweeter? And of course, the national championship, hoisting that trophy, that ring, but give us some insight.
I think what it starts with that group, and you as coaches will agree with this, that talent will put you in the driver's seat. There's no question about that. But trust, toughness, togetherness, gives you the best chance to put yourself in those moments. And that's what we, again, it goes back to, we talked about earlier, the boot camp. You know, we were doing just small little details that we're not going to win a national championship in October, but all the steps we were taking were building to that moment. Yeah, no doubt about it, but we just had a talented group. But they were the most connected, committed, caring, competitive group that I've ever been around. And when you have veterans like that, Jalen Wilson, Ochai Agbaji, McCormick, Mitch Lightfoot, Remy was on that team, Remy Martin, Kristen Brown, and when I'm talking about veteran guys, I'm talking about even our walk-ons that had accountability roles in there. That was the thing. Everyone was held accountable. Everyone. And there's the three things that we did every single day, guys. Every single day. We discussed our culture. We drove our culture. And we defended our culture every single day. And that's what separated us in March, especially when you're down 15 points at halftime. And that game till today is known as the most comeback deficit in championship history. And you do have to have luck. You got to win six straight in May. You guys know how hard it's easy. They say it's easier winning 30 games during a season than winning six straight in an elimination tournament like it is. So those things that we talked about for boot camp carried over. And we'll emphasize and we'll remind guys during huddles. And the guys will start talking about, hey, we did boot camp. These guys didn't do boot camp. They don't know what it's like to get up 6 a.m. in the morning. Come on. Like we would start, again, just bringing those moments up to get us over to your point, mate, to get us to the other side. And our guys were so good, guys. We started talking our culture to the media. And what I mean by that is we have culture terminology that we talk during practice, that we talk in the locker room. And it's player coach. It's what we have culture classes, put it like that. But I do certain things during a season that you know, and it's a special. And when Mitch Lightfoot was talking to the media when we got down to New Orleans, and he didn't use the word distractions to answer the question. He said, no, we can't have any side streets. We're down here. We're focused. We're locked in. And I know the meetings were like, side streets, what is he talking about? Side streets? But in our culture, that means no distractions. So there's certain things you knew these guys were totally and locked into another culture word for us. But there were things during that year that, you know, you just knew they respect. We lost Coach Self's dad late February. So we always said that road to cut nets was never, it was not a straight line. We had to go through, again, a lot. We talked about losses, setbacks, injuries, you name it. We went through it all, but that special, that team was just so connected and committed that they weren't going to be denied.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's lifetime stuff, man. Somebody's going to think I'm crazy listening to this. Most people already do that listen to us, but I'm going to take it one step further. That's the pinnacle of what we all chase in our profession. Yeah. It's a national title. And talk about, this is going to sound crazy, but there's a fickleness to it as well, that once you win one, it's funny how people treat you all of a sudden like you're all of a sudden smarter as a coach. There's guys that haven't won one that are great as well. But there's that next day and then the following days, and that's, you still have this, the buzz is still going pretty strong. But just talk about how you understand how fickle what we do is, that like that, as much as it's an achievement, it still doesn't change. You can't let it change who you are. And not winning one, you can't let it change who you are. And I don't know if that makes sense, but I think you know where I'm going with that.
It makes total sense. And yeah, and this is where Bill is different, is that once we won the national championship, we didn't rest on our laurels. We didn't pat ourselves on the back. We didn't listen to the press clippings, what people were saying, how great we were. Now, we were humbled, and what we did was amazing. But, okay, how do we get better tomorrow? How do we get better in recruiting? How do we get our players better? And I think that's what the separators do. When you talk about the greats, you have to move on to the next play, because if you don't adapt and you don't adjust and you don't tweak and you don't ask the right questions, you could become stale, you could become stagnant. And I do recall this, okay, what are going to be our non-negotiables that we're going to stand on regardless of the circumstances? And I think questions like that, they resonate with me. You asked, Doug, you mentioned what I did, where I was at Kansas, but I tell people, Q, what do? I show up, I take ownership, and I create great experiences for everybody that I come in contact with. That's our non-negotiables. That's our standards. That's our core values. Nothing else. So every day we wanted to show up with energy, with an attitude, with a conviction, regardless of the circumstances. We wanted to take ownership. We weren't going to pass the buck. We weren't going to make excuses. We weren't going to do that. And everybody who we came in contact with, we are going to energize them. We're going to add value to them. We're going to uplift them. We're going to motivate them. That's what you do. And when you stand on things like that, it's amazing how good things turn out for you. No doubt about it. So to your point was, okay, you want it. How are we going to get a little bit better tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah. There's always the winning or losing. There's always the now what. And I don't know where we got that from, Doug, but somebody on here talked about that. That's like those two words were part of their culture. It's now what?
Yes.
And so it's almost like that next play mentality, but the now what is even a little bit more, what do we do now? We didn't win it. What do we do now? Lost in the first round. Now what? We had a 6-27 season. Now what? Somebody goes down for 3 weeks with an injury. Okay, now what?
Now what?
You know, yes. You can tack it on to any scenario that happens.
Yeah, we see teams that plan, prepare, and expect moments of challenge, moments of adversity, have a better chance of bouncing back have a better chance of acquiring that next play mentality. Because to your point, we signed up for this. There's no guarantee they're going to cut down nets. There's no guarantee you're going to win your championship. There's no guarantee you're going to win all your... There's no guarantee, and you all both know, guys, winning is hard. Regardless of where you're at, it is hard.
Yeah, everything needs to be aligned, right? Like, when you think about it, so I was fortunate this past year, our team won the championship. And if you truly think about it, there's 11 teams, now 12 in our conference. Out of those 12 teams, how many of those kids are working out every day? How many of those coaches are, and what do you have to do that is better than all of them? You have to find a way to make yourself better and stand out in every individual aspect, like the coaches, the players, your point guards, your centers, your water boys. Like, everybody has to find a way to be better than they were before. And it's a tough thing to be able to not only do that, as you're saying, win a game, but then align everybody behind you too. And everybody has said it on here. It starts with the man up top, like the vision, the message that you're getting across. If you come in and say, I've seen it before, we got to win the conference this year. This is our goal, to win the conference. Once you win the conference and get to that NCAA tournament, like I was saying with the one more rep, right? And as we were talking before, we hit our goal. We're not ready to prepare to go beyond that conference championship. Now, once you finally get there, you're like, we did what we wanted to do. This, our season's kind of over now. Like some teams, but for you guys being at Kansas, and I'm sure you guys were drilling national championship. Like, yeah, let's win the conference, but there's bigger goals and bigger things at hand. And I mean, it obviously worked, but everyone's got to be in line.
Yeah, I think to your point, and I think this is, when we talk about tweaking and sitting down and discussing, there's so much, if we'll use the word pressure, there's so much expectation at a place like Kansas and so many other places, just not just us, to, you're in conversation to cut down nets or go to the Final Four, win it all. If that's our focus, then our chances of getting to that point for us or anybody else, we're going to fall short because we're focused on the wrong thing. You said a great word. If we're not aligned, we got no chance. We got no chance. So we spend more time in diving into those spaces. Our national championship is probably, and I'm sure you guys may use it. We use it called the results pyramid. And our result, that quadrant at the top of the pyramid is probably the smallest part of our quadrant. We don't want to spend time thinking about our results. We want to spend time in our experiences. We want to spend time in our beliefs. We want to spend time in our alignment. We spend more time there than thinking about winning a national championship. And that was the tweak for us. So we not only do we say national championship, we also put grow. We want to win a national championship and we want to grow. And that little small word, Doug, changed the whole complexity of our team. It did. It did. One small word, man, because we get so ingrained about, again, the next championship. No, you're focused on the wrong thing. Focus on the people that produce the championships. And that's what we did. That's why I said I work for the GOAT, man. I work for the GOAT.
Yeah, no, he's in a class by himself in many ways. But yeah, you guys almost took the same approach. Obviously, Nick Saban went through that, you know, as a coach. Like, he was a huge results-oriented guy. And then I can't remember when. I think they had maybe his first or second year at Alabama. They had lost a home game to somebody. And he just had this self-actualization moment of looking in the mirror and understanding that he coached outcomes too much. And he literally flipped it to the process. And that's where, and I'm not talking about the Sixers process, that's a whole different thing that kind of went off the rails. But but Nick Saban's point, almost like the origin of just, you hear it said in so many ways, right? Like, win the day. What is it, if today were a championship moment, how would you approach it? Treating each practice as if it's a championship, getting the most out of every rep. There's so many different ways to say it. Go 1-0 every day.
Yes.
Right? On and off the floor. What's it look like to go 1-0 every day? And then how many days can you stack of going 1-0. And if you take an L and you go 0-1, how quick do you bounce back the next day to go back and get to 1-0, whatever that looks like? Ball, student-wise, personally, 1-0 every day. And so there's so many ways of just talking about what you're just saying with the process part, because you can really get lost in the weeds if you focus on just the title itself. And you end up skipping a lot of steps along the way if you focus on that ending. Because, and then when you get to the end of the mountaintop, as you guys have reached, you look back and say, you know what? This was all about the journey in the first place.
Yes.
It got us here, and that's great. But like, you appreciate the journey more than the actual trophy.
Yes. Alan, when I look back behind me of these national championship Final Fours, I got a great story for you guys. And we're talking about, because you brought up the word journey. And you all are football guys, I'm sure, too. Obviously, Ohio State. And you're in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, but I'm a big football. Ohio State fan.
Okay, but you're around football. You're around football.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And you all can compare the AFC championship game or the NFC championship game. You name it. But it's two things are going to happen. The winner is going to go to the Super Bowl, right? The loser is going to go back to, in our case, let's say Lawrence. Elite Eight game. We're playing Miami. And again, Elite Eight game is you win it, you go to New Orleans. You lose it, you head back to Lawrence. To start our practice, to go to to prepare for the Elite Eight game against a really good Miami team, we started our practice out playing duck, duck, goose.
Wow.
Duck, goose.
How about
and
that?
It caught wind to social media where people were like, what are they doing? They're not preparing. They're laughing. They're giggling. Right. They're having a good time. They look like they're having, there's joy in their faces.
Yeah, go figure. Yeah, the nerve of these guys to actually
the
have
nerve.
Fun.
They're not serious. They're having fun. It's part of our culture to have fun.
Yeah.
And we go out there and we won by double figures. But again, you talk about that journey. When you start from the beginning and you just work your way out to your point, to I made my point earlier, how do you make others better? How do you enjoy the experiences? We fought for those things. When you do it every single day, yeah, you can play the goose.
Yeah,
for
no
sure.
No doubt, man.
You
no
can
doubt.
Play now if you're a team that's not connected and you're not, you're not really sure and you're tight. Nah, we weren't tight. No, this team was totally, to your point, Doug, we were totally aligned.
Yeah, that duck goose wasn't going to say you got up 100 shots rather than that. It wasn't going to change any difference. Like all the preparation was from that boot camp and up to that point. Like there. Anything you would have done that day. See, that right there tells me, and that, of course, is social media, but that's people who have never been there who don't know those experiences. Right. If you're playing duck goof or you're goose or you're getting up 100 shots, either way,
And you're talking about a Hall of Fame coach. It says something about the leadership of Bill Self, too, how he trusts his players. He trusts the process. He lives in purpose. He wants to have fun. He wants the guys to be loose. Yeah. Okay. The goose. Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Amazing. I love it.
Coach Q, you have dropped gems for us already, but we want to ask for one more. Going back to when you were, as we were talking before, you're leaving Fordham, you're going trying to find that first position and ultimately find one at Naval Academy. If you could go back and give yourself advice, knowing what you know now at your current state, what advice would that be? Just about the coaching profession?
That's a great question. I would suggest all young coaches, even including myself, that don't just coach the game, coach the person. The X's and O's do matter, but it's the impact. It's the impact on the lives that last. You know, early in my career, and I'm sure you guys may have been there too, I thought success was all about proving myself. But over time, I learned that success is significance. It's leaving players better than you found them. That's the true scoreboard. Like I mentioned, Landon Luke is one of my former players, lives 5 miles down the road. And I get to see him as a wonderful father, amazing husband. And that's the most important thing. That's what lasts.
Yeah, I love it, man. Nah, this has been great stuff, Fred. I know we've gone back and forth trying to make this happen. And I also want to say hats off to your son, Mason, because
thank you.
He's dealt with his cancer battle. And that clip you showed me of him smashing one, getting downhill and smashing one, was a beautiful thing to see. So continued prayers for his health and strength. And again, more importantly, just I appreciate you. Thank you for your friendship. And you've always been one of those guys, no matter how my career has ebbed and flowed, you've always been a consistent dude. Like I said, I want to take this stage right here to thank you for that as well. And this was some great stuff today, brother.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you to your point. We talked offline earlier, Mage. I am a big believer in this. And your young coaches, just commit to your commitments. If you committed to something, you stay committed to it, regardless of the circumstances. So thank you both for having me. I really appreciate it. I got a chance to learn a little bit. So I'm looking forward to that next fortune cookie. I hope it is as cool as yours was.
No, I'm telling you, man, I put it on my board out here. I really love did. It. I got 7 or 8 sayings on my board just to keep me grounded. But that one's in the top right corner because it didn't mean anything at the time. And then 2 weeks later, it was like a punch in the jaw. It was a Ali left cross. And it's wow, because that doesn't just go for me. I think that just goes for everybody that I'm, all of us. I think we look at the people that we try to touch and what does that look like for them? So what is that, not just what that fortune cookie mean for me, what does it look like for us to help people get to the other side of their comfort zone and what beauty is there for them? But yeah, man. And before Dougie lands a plane here, hang out with us a little bit when we sign off, just so we can get everything uploaded, and then we'll let you roll.
You bet. Thanks again for having me, guys. Appreciate you, and best of luck to both of you all this season.
This is great. Thank you, man.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it, Coach. Thanks for sharing everything.
You
bet. And for everybody out there, thank you for tuning in. Another great episode, the Rising Coaches Podcast. Again, Alan Major, Doug Caputo, and all you coaches out there, keep working, keep rising, trust the process, and be aligned. That's anything we learned today, right? But keep rising, coaches. We'll see you all soon.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.